Okay, it's September 23rd, 2019, right. And I'm Janet Culler, and okay. I'm at the home of Ken and Patty Sharp. And I'm going to set this right here, and we'll make sure the volume is up as much as we can. Yep, it's up. So if you notice a red light going off, then we'll worry, but otherwise, hopefully it'll be just fine. Thank you so much. And if you could start by telling me your names and maybe your birthdays and where you're from originally.
My name's Ken Sharp. My birthday's 3/20/1939. I was born and raised in Seattle, Washington, and I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Great. A native.
Yep.
Washingtonian.
And my name is Patty Sharp, and I was born on September 11th, 1940, and I was born in Everett, Washington, and grew up in this area.
Happy birthday! Great. And what was your maiden name?
McGee.
McGee.
Yeah, Patty McGee Sharp. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people here call me Patty McGee. Uh-huh. That was the name of the store I had down on Main Street.
Well, how did you two come together as a unit here?
Well, we were high school sweethearts.
Aww.
And I met her in my sophomore year. I met her at the Neptune Theater. And I worked at Kiddyland. And she brought her sister up to Woodland Park. I was running the merry-go-round that day, literally, and I remembered her. And
that was long after the Neptune Theater.
Yeah, I met her briefly at the Neptune Theater. I can tell you what she was wearing.
Honey.
I could talk an hour on that. But anyway, she was. And so she came up with her sister, and I was running the merry-go-round physically, and a guy came up and said, Patty McGee's looking for a friend of mine, Pat Lyons. I said, hey, you run the merry-go-round. I'll go take the tickets. So I went up and said, you remember me? And she said, yes, you're Ken. What I didn't realize for 30 years later, my name was on my uniform. She didn't know who I was. But my name was, anyway, so me and this friend, Pat Lyons, went to her house. She lived right by Woodland Park.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my relationship with her started, was we started. And so we were high school sweethearts and got married shortly after high school. And here we are, 61 years later.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
We got married in 1958, yeah.
Oh. Great.
Mm-hmm. So,
what brought you out to Duval, and when did you come?
Well, several things. One is my mother and father were here. My dad bought property at Lake Margaret. It was one of the first pieces before the road went around the lake. As a matter of fact, there was not a road all the way around. He bought property on Lake Margaret. One of the first pieces ever sold, and he got involved. He bought a building down here to be an auction house, which was the old Grange, the original Grange of Duval.
Okay.
And then my mother, when the sewer systems came in, the guy that owned the property next door didn't want to pay the assessment, so I loaned my mother the money to buy that property, and they built the building partially that Joni's in, the Country Collections
okay.
is. My mother and dad moved in there. That was our first association with Duval, was my mom and dad being here. And
Lake Margaret.
Yeah, and Lake Margaret.
And that was in 59.
Yeah, that was. Ooh. So that was our first association, but we physically moved out to Duval. We bought, after my father died, we bought the property from my mother, except for where Joni's at. She mm-hmm. kept that. And then I got involved. I sold my business and started a business here in Duval. And then I went back to work, and Patty quit Group Health. And she came out and started Patty McGee's, which was an antique store in the old Grange. And then her and my daughter started the Duval Cafe, or took over the Duval Cafe, which was there.
No, it wasn't Duval Cafe then.
Well, it was a truck stop.
But it
yeah.
had been empty.
Right, and that goes back to the early days of my dad. That got started when my dad did do the auctions. He would serve food at the auctions, and people started showing up. And he started serving food, coffee, and it actually was an accident
so
that it became a restaurant.
So he added on at that time what is now...
Well, partially, yeah.
Sweet or Swift and Savory.
Over the years, that was expanded about 5 times.
Yeah.
And so that's really kind of the history of how that property got to be where it was. But we took it over. We physically bought the property. We bought the lake property in 75. And we bought the...
Yeah, you and I.
Mm-hmm. And then we bought the property from my mother in early 80s, about 82, 83. We bought the property from my mother because she had to, her health was failing. Mm-hmm. So that's what brought us out here physically.
What were your parents' names?
Dick and Marge Sharp.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's them.
That's them there, yeah. Oh. In the, yeah.
And they were up at Lake Margaret.
Well, they never were up there. They never lived there.
Okay.
They bought property there, recreational. We've never built on it. It's strictly family recreational property.
Oh.
One of the few lots, I think there's only 3 lots that aren't built on. Uh-huh. Maybe there, is there more than that? Okay. And so we've never built, nor do we intend to.
So go up there and to swim or picnic?
Recreational.
Yeah.
We've got
the
6 kids.
Love it.
They boat in or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, we've got a couple of boats up there, and it's just recreational.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so fun.
Yeah, yeah. So we've known Duval since the 60s.
Okay.
And we're business involved in it. I would say it started probably in the mid to late 70s.
For you and I.
Yeah, for Patty and I. And then we physically moved out here in 84.
Okay.
Yeah, we sold our properties in Green Lake. We actually grew up in the Green Lake area.
Okay.
And so we sold that and came out here and operated. When we moved out here, I dragged her out kicking and screaming. She did not want to move from Seattle.
Oh,
but she
yeah.
took her about a year, year and a half, and she fell in love with it out here. And we would not live anyplace else.
No.
I loved Duval. Yeah.
That is
and
wonderful.
I liked Duval, but I just didn't want to live out here.
Yeah, I don't live out in the country.
This I was the city.
This was the country back
then.
This was the country.
I still like the city. So people don't understand that.
You like both.
Yeah.
I love both.
Travel back and forth and visit. Yeah,
and that's what
but it used to be a real experience driving to Duval because Novelty Hill didn't exist. You had to come the road here. When they first built Novelty Hill Road, it was almost like a one lane, you know, barely could get 2 cars on it. It was absolutely beautiful and it shortcutted the Duval, made it a little easier. But originally, Duval was a major trip. Yeah, I mean,
well,
to come from
522 didn't go.
Yeah.
I mean,
520.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Didn't come up over.
Yeah, I had to go around the lake, and it was, it was a commitment.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our children went to, and one reason I didn't want to, and I waited until our last child graduated from high school.
Yeah.
And we moved out here 3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We gave
I didn't want him driving on this road.
Yeah.
The joke is in the family.
Because they went to Catholic schools in Seattle. So.
The joke in the family was John, our youngest, we bought him luggage for his graduation present.
Yeah.
We sold the house and moved out here. We rented the house and moved out here.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, we've had a long relationship with Duval, you know, and then have lived here for, gosh, I don't know, 84 till now, I guess 30, 40 years. Yeah. And
did you say your parents owned a business first?
Yeah.
Then?
The Duval secondhand store, as it was known then.
Okay.
And Marge, my mother, if you mentioned Duval people, I kid we'd be 5 states away, we'd be in, I'd say, somebody'd say, oh, I know Duval. There's that little antique store, secondhand store there. And I'd say, well, that's my mom. Said, your mom is Marge? I mean, people knew
she
my
was
mother.
So famous.
Oh, she was. She was the grand marshal for the parade 1 year here in Duval.
Oh,
yeah,
she
so,
was just really. A,
yeah, she's. Everybody knew her, and she had a giving hand to anybody. I mean, if anybody needed anything, they know.
And they lived here too.
Lived here. Yeah, they lived here. My mother lived in the back of the business. When she built the new building, my dad moved into the back of the business.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, they had an apartment, which is still there. If you go in the back of Jonah's, you can see where the kitchen, the bathroom, and everything was. It was an apartment.
The bathroom back there.
And when we moved out here, we rented until I remodeled the back of the old Grange building. You know that building down there where the restaurant, Sweet and Savory, is attached to is the original Grange building for Duval.
Yeah.
And it was moved up from Cherry Valley.
Okay.
And it was so damaged that when they got up here, the Grange rejected it and built the new Grange.
The new Grange.
And when we bought it, it tilted. And we actually had the building straightened up. Yeah, we had a guy come in with a crane and literally pull the building up through.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we put, you go see, there's inch plywood on the inside.
Oh.
And that's what maintained the structure of the building. But it was literally falling down.
So the second hand was where Sweet and Savory is now? And
no, that was where next door to it, and I don't know what that goes called.
It's attached.
Yeah.
It goes
but
through
you
the
can still see the old wood in there if you walk around.
And that is where
there.
there was the antique store.
That's where I had.
And
that's where she has
it.
Yeah, Patty McGee's. Yeah.
I love that store. I'm so sorry it went away recently.
Oh, no.
It wasn't
I
yours
sold
anymore.
It. Yeah, it was several things since I, because then my daughter and I opened the Duval Cafe, which is Sweet and Savory.
Reopened it, yeah.
We reopened it and redid it.
Yeah.
And it was the Duval
Cafe.
Put a
big investment into it.
And then at that point, I leased it out. It's been McCoy's Mercantile, the second hand, you know, it's been several different
lots of things.
Yeah.
So she had a second hand store.
Had second, collectibles. And, it was fun.
Yeah.
I did that for 10 years.
Yeah, you did that for 10 years.
12 years at the time. And we lived behind that store.
Yeah, we built we retrofitted an apartment in there.
We had the cutest little apartment back there. Yeah. It's an apartment still now. They rent it out.
I saw that. Yeah, they rented out as an apartment again. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
underneath it?
No, in the back, and it goes upstairs.
And that used to all be wooded area behind there. That's before the park and all that was down there. It was all wooded area.
Parking lot.
And there was no parking lot. No, no.
There wasn't
a road. There wasn't a parking lot. It just was wooded area right up to the building.
Our kids built treehouse, our grandkids.
Yeah, built. And it used to be, you'd get your visiting,
raccoons.
The raccoons. We used to have raccoons on our back. Built a little back porch or deck there, and the raccoons would come up on there.
Oh, yeah.
And tap on our window, so until we fed them, until we gave them something to eat,
So it was woods all the way down to the river.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, and it was and it was, it changed dramatically with the Microsoft explosion.
Mm-hmm.
There was 800 people when we moved out here in Duval, Greater Duval.
Okay.
That was the whole population
of Duval.
What they call it, Greater Duval, or whatever, so I couldn't.
Yeah.
But that was the total of everybody. Yeah.
And what year was that?
Well, we moved out in 84.
Okay.
And but we really started getting really involved about the 80s, I think, is when I started involved in it. And I sold my business and then moved out to Duval. And we bought the property.
Duval Books.
Oh, yes.
Oh, rented from us,
They started in our building.
Okay.
Mike and Vicky.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they had it for
many years. 20
Mike
years.
And Vicky.
They rented
Elridge?
Vicky and...
My mother rented to them, and they had the old red building, which was red then, the old Grange.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike and my mom was getting very disabled. Mike used to take her garbage out, do all kinds of things. One day he comes over and he goes, "Marge, I'm going to raise my rent." And him and my mom got in a fight over it. She said, "No, he's paying her $150 a month," and he raised it to $250. He says, "No, we're doing real good. The bookstore's doing good. I'm going to raise it $100. I'm going to raise it to $250. And him and my mother got in a fight over it. "No, you're not, Mike. You do all." "No, I'm going to." And he really, can you imagine? Raised his own rent. So that's what kind
that's
of people they were.
Great.
Yeah, they were just wonderful.
That's a great story.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Wow.
But.
Yeah, that was back in the
70s.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
But Duval then was loggers and dairy farmers.
Okay.
And I knew a lot of the old Duval Cafe, or truck stop, as it was originally known. And the Elridge, what was her name that ran it for all those years, rented from my mom and dad? I can't think of their names. It'll come to me. But all the farmers and the loggers used to go in there, so I got to know everybody, even though I didn't live in Duval. I'd come out and
visit. Yeah, we always felt so connected to all of the different segments of Duval society, from the hippie group, which were good
hippie
friends
art,
of ours, community, and then
the farmers.
Farmers, and then the business people, Herb Harder, and that were all,
And the reason I brought you something here, I was a police commissioner for 25 years.
Excellent.
And there's my little thing they gave me.
Yeah, celebrating 25 years of service.
Yeah, so, but Irv Harder, in 1991, he said to me, "Ken, I want you to volunteer for something." And I said, "Well, Irv, what would be the least amount of time and the least amount of and very few meetings?" He says, "You're going to be a police commissioner." And so he assigned me a police commissioner.
What is a police commissioner?
We overlooked, basically what we did is we monitored hiring.
Okay.
A police commissioner at that time made sure that somebody's brother-in-law, we used to monitor. I'd come up, and when they did the physical tests, when they did the physical testing, I would actually be there to make sure that nobody got into favoritism, and I would be there a lot of times when they did the written test to make sure nobody was getting any kind of favoritism. And that basically is what it was. But then it changed over the years to the point where it got to be dealing with discipline of police. You know, it changed dramatically. It went from 2-3 meetings a year to a meeting a month to... And actually did a little travel.
Went they became more professional.
Yeah, it became more... Yeah, it's the Duval Police Department.
Sure. Well, we had,
We had one policeman when I... But
and
Duval
wasn't always there. I mean, the police.
Oh no, there was no police department. And on Friday nights, it used to be Duval's downtown Main Street. Duval's a racetrack. I mean, you'd literally get up in the morning and see tire marks on the sidewalks, and it would just be mayhem. The Carnation boys would come in, the Duval boys, all the farm boys, and they'd fight and drink, and no, you couldn't. And the motorcycle, no, they'd take you, you know, 2 days to get a sheriff out here. So it was just wide open.
You just had to.
Yeah, and it was just mayhem down the streets. Friday nights was just like, you know. Many times. And yeah, and so Duval, but then they got the police department and everybody was against it. And Irv Harder ran that.
Right?
Yeah, most everybody. Irv Harder just put his whole reputation, whatever, on the line, and he just iron fisted the police department in. And I remember people were really, and he made it happen.
Yeah,
and people were really unhappy, but it was one of the greatest things Duval ever did. It made a huge difference. Do you know that all the time I was a police commissioner, Duval had the lowest crime rate of all of King County?
Wow.
Yeah. There nobody, and then when we took over Carnation, I think it was 2.5 years, they had the lowest crime rate along with us. So we had a good, efficient, I was always proud to be part of our police department.
Yeah,
yeah.
You had a huge difference.
Yeah.
Wow.
But,
so were any of your brothers or sisters involved out here too?
My brother Pat was for a while, my youngest brother, but he was more into the construction. He helped expand when they added on to the restaurant. He did a lot of construction work.
Okay.
And he was involved in the secondhand store. I was always in... What my business was, I represented factories, and I used to send the buybacks to my mother, the lighting buybacks. She was famous for the truck lighting she had in there, because when I would be out in the field and buy back competitors' brands, I'd send it to my mom.
Mm.
And that basically supported her. She was making a couple thousand a month off that. I mean, that was one of the driving forces of how she could keep her.
Truck lighting.
Yeah, and the truckers would come from all over. They'd come from Idaho. They'd buy because the lighting was so cheap. I mean, it would cost her nothing.
Yeah.
And it would be our competitor. I rep Grody, so it'd be our competitor brands that we would lift off the shelf. And any rate, it was an interesting part of.
Then his sister has the other building. She's very involved and always was. And
Joni was very
involved.
Okay.
Large.
Yeah. So Joni is your sister.
Joni's my sister, yeah. She's quite a bit younger than I am.
Okay.
She's 18 years younger than I am.
What's her last name?
Well, it's Joni Ramsey. It's just not anymore.
Haller.
It's Haller.
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 Yeah,
Haller
and her husband, yes. So, but they live in Monroe.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but.
And you'd like to talk to her.
Okay.
Yeah, Joni's very.
And She's been very involved in all levels of
H-A-L-E-R?
Hmm?
One L?
No, two L's.
Okay.
H-A-L-L-E-R, yeah. You need
her
phone number?
Yeah, she was president, I think, of the...
Well, yeah. If she owns the shop, I could find her there.
Yeah, I belonged to the Duval business community when I, you know, had the business out here.
The Chamber of Commerce. No, Joni was president.
Yeah.
And has always been real involved in the city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We all were back then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Duval was a community.
Christmas
you knew
lighting.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of community.
After you moved here and got started here, what was the business again that you had?
When I came out and I bought the building for my mom, I did surplusing. What I did is when I sold my business, I got into surplusing business. And this was, I had two surplus stores, one in Duval, and the other one was in Montlake Terrace.
Okay.
Warehouses. And I surplus nationally. But to give you some idea what Duval was like back then, weekends Duval was a tourist town because of Remlinger Farms. Mm-hmm. People used to do the drive. During the week, my dog, Second Ten, would sleep out on 203 to get the sun. He literally would go out there, and maybe a car would mosey through Duval, you know, 3-4 cars in 5-10 minutes.
Yours was the dog sleeping in the highway.
Yeah.
There.
He'd go out there, and I'd get mad at him. I'd say,
Second Sin.
Well, his name was Second Hand. That was the dog's name.
Uh-huh.
And he'd go out there and sleep in the sun, you know, just off the building, right out there, and cars would just go around them. Oh, nobody thought anything of it. That's how little, I shouldn't say how little traffic, but there was just enough traffic that would concern me about the dog, but not enough that he was concerned about.
What was the name of your surplus store?
It was called Duval's.
Duval's Secondhand.
Yeah, no, it was actually just surplus. I mean, basically, it never. And I did nationally because I got things from Kenworth. I had quite a range of. Mm-hmm. And so I did national surplus. And if you look up in the building, when we retrofit the very top of the building where the roof comes, there's an office there. And that was my office for my national surplusing.
Mm.
But it was just called Truck Surplus. Golly, you know, why can't I think of the name? I know there was a name.
I think you had. I think it was just Duval.
No, it had a name, but it just won't come to me anyway.
You are the original recycler.
Yeah.
Well, this was new stuff. This wasn't recycled. Most of it was new.
But
Kenworth was one of the reason that motivated me was Kenworth was going through JIT, which just in time. They had a huge warehouse out in Renton that they were closing everything out.
Mm-hmm.
Because just in time means the manufacturer supplies. Okay.
Yeah.
So they were going and their production plant. Kenworth was a big customer of mine. I sold them lighting. Mm-hmm. And so I got involved in surplusing when I owned my rep agent business, but I wanted to get off the road and quit traveling. And I had an opportunity to be surplusing for them, which was a golden opportunity.
Wow.
And so I started doing that, and that's why I sold my business and bought this property.
And got
no, I'd buy it and do it nationally. I would do mailers. I had a newspaper that I'd send out nationally to the truck dealers, the Kenworth truck dealers. And they, in turn, then would call me and say, oh, I'm interested in that, and I'd ship it to them. And I could just go down to their huge warehouse, pick it up, and send it to them, and it was doing wonderful. And then they went in-house with it. And that's when Patty came and took over the property.
Okay.
In other words, Kenworth, one day I go and they say, we're not doing this anymore. We're going in-house with it. You know, literally, I lost my source of surplus.
Yeah. So I told him to go out and get a real job.
Which I did, which turned out wonderful. And then she took it over, and it was probably one of the best decisions we made. She did wonderful. And
so
I was glad.
So then you turned that property into different business.
Yes. And it started out, it was going to be a secondhand collectibles. And then I talked Donna Beeson, who owned the Silver Spoon, into coming into the building for part of it and opening up. And it was the Silver Spoon
for
a while. And I had consignment no, not consignment. I leased out spaces and people.
Yeah.
And then in the back, there was a, had a flower shop and just different things we experimented with.
I interviewed Donna.
Did you?
Oh, yeah,
my first
yeah.
people on the history yeah. of the Silver Spoon. And
I was
going to
say, before they said, Mark, you mentioned Duval and you were in New York City. Usually they say
spoon.
The Silver Spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody. The Silver Spoon was famous. You know, people loved it. It had the country food that you couldn't get any place else. And it was excellent food. And it just, everything was right about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah.
And Donna.
And Donna
community.
And her husband, Ed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Ed and
yeah,
Donna.
Yeah, they created were, community.
They yeah. did, yeah. Yeah.
And it had been owned, two owners before that, kind of. But they
And real hippies. There were a couple of real hippies. I can't remember what was the one guy's name that was such a character. That's a problem. See, I don't remember names anymore.
Oh, I understand. We're all that way.
Yeah. But it was back then. Duval was so Duval. I mean, it was uniquely Duval. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the biggest change I've seen is today it's not uniquely Duval. It's a bedroom community for Microsoft and that was, but back then the farmers wouldn't go into the Silver Spoon out here because it was a hippie restaurant.
Oh, right.
And
they
would have their coffee at the coffee shop because it was a
it was the farmers.
But the farmers just thought they're a bunch of crazy hippies. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was that mentality, them and us. And I loved it. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Because, like Patty said, we walked in the middle. We were both sides. I was an artist, closet artist back then. Yeah, but I didn't ever try to make a living at it until I retired. I got serious in my heart after I retired. So, yeah.
Wow.
But,
so then I just narrowed it down and leased out the other part, the restaurant part, to... Well, when I started the restaurant, my daughter and I, we did that for about 2.5 years, and it was just way too much. Where I was too old, Janice, at that point.
Yeah, the restaurant business.
And the restaurant part was on the end there? Or it was a different location?
It was,
no, it was
had been there.
Savory.
No, it was right there.
Yeah, it was Sweet and Savory.
But I put in a new stove in the kitchen, and I made a big investment in it and did it for 2.5 years, and then I sold it to Dennis, I forget his name, and he kept it as the Duval Cafe for 10 years.
10 years,
Was it also a truck stop?
No, that was prior. Originally, the truck stop was what my dad.
Here's his dad started.
Yeah.
The Duval truck stop.
And then they rented it. Yeah.
No, right.
Same building. The building had added on to you. You know, it's a little building. Then they added a piece on here, added a piece on here, added a piece on. So it kind of.
Hard to see it as like one piece now.
Hard to see it as a truck stop, isn't it? Well, there's no parking now.
Well, it wasn't big truck, but they called it.
No, they called it that. Yeah. I don't know where that name came from. But I can tell you this, maybe I shouldn't tell you this. But my dad, if you dug up the back of where the building is, the back of the building is, there are three cars in there, three car bodies. And the reason is my dad owned Kenmore Auto Wrecking, and he brought car bodies out when he filled that in for parking. That's why he filled it in. There are three cars back there, and one's at 36 Plymouth. I've often thought, God,
there's
I love
dead,
to dig
there's
that.
There's dead bodies back
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right. Three car bodies. He used the three. Well, it was legal, man. He used the car bodies for Phil.
Good.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I remember one of them for a while, the fender was sticking.
Is that a family secret?
Right.
She's saying, don't go there.
But at any rate.
That is funny.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
But my dad, after my dad and mom got into, my dad had emphysema so bad, his health failed almost immediately. I mean, he never really did get a chance to do any more than, I don't think more than a year he ran that as a, what he bought it for, which was a, he sold his wrecking yard for auction house.
He went back and became an auctioneer.
Oh.
Yeah, and then, but he never could.
It takes a lot of voice.
Yeah, and it was a, you know, based on his health, it was, not a really good decision, but it was a good decision because here we sit today, and I'm very grateful for that. I absolutely love Duval. You know, the bike path. I do a lot of biking and all that.
For you.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And the lake property. You know, we're just And we can still have access to our kids. I mean, they're 45 to an hour away, but that's still very doable for us.
Wow.
And grandkids. But under what else, yeah. So.
Well, let's go back to your businesses that you ran there. Yeah. You had the cafe, and mm-hmm. but then you had some, then you didn't want to do that piece.
Yeah, I started out with renting out the part where Donna had the silver spoon,
yes.
and I was in there, and I leased all of that out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. No, first then I moved in, yeah, to the other, the big part of the store now, and mm-hmm. I already had that. No, see, I don't know.
Well, just and, blur. Yeah.
The Grange, yeah.
Yeah, the Grange part was my second hand. Then I started the restaurant, and I leased out to mm-hmm. McCoy's Mercantile, and she took it over the grain, the big mm-hmm. part of the building. And then I rented the restaurant for over 10 years, but the longest was to Dennis. He kept it as the Duval Cafe. Then it became a Teddy Bear Barbecue, and then...
Well, didn't she... Donna was in there with the spoon for a while.
Yeah, we've already done that.
Okay.
That was
yeah.
And then...
And the Duval Truck Stop, my dad started, but then the Luxmores, their last name was the Luxmores, rented it, and they ran it for 15 years or 10 years at least.
Wow. As the Duval
Truck Stop, and it was
and
very popular.
And a lot of people... in that grew up here and are still here worked in that.
Yeah, and that, yeah. And then they.
There. And that was where the old farmers.
Yeah. And then he had health problems. Mr. Luxmore got health problems and they mm-hmm. literally had to let it go. They couldn't operate it anymore. So that's how.
So that's
how,
when.
Yeah, when Patty came in to.
And opened how we took got over into. It and fixed it up.
Yeah, we put it. And they were, yeah, we. To what happened was when they left, we could not reopen it as a restaurant because it was so under standard. So we had to put a whole bunch of money into it, get mm-hmm. the big, all that stuff on the top of the roof mm-hmm. and the fans and the
put
grill.
A new roof on
and
it.
We, so we put a huge investment in those days, mm-hmm. a big, big investment in to reopen it as a restaurant. And then that's what brought her out was, okay, we're going to open this as a restaurant. We got this big investment that we better make it work.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, it was.
Yeah.
Several people took it over then, and as a restaurant, or ran it, the barbecue place.
Teddy Bear.
No, but then the next
one. Armadillo.
Yeah,
was
Bob
there when
Hill.
We moved.
Yeah,
Armadillo.
Bob Hill. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Armadillo. And that was fun. They were fun.
They were well, and he bought the property from us. He's who mm-hmm. we're.
He owns.
We own the property, but we sold it to Bob on a, mm-hmm. and we carry the paper on it, you know. So, but he's a good guy. We were real mm-hmm. pleased when he came along. He was stable. Owns a business up in Alaska, flying mm-hmm. business, and been very good for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how long did you do your secondhand business there?
I did that. 10,
and collectibles,
years.
And
about 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, is that when Joni got involved there?
Joni was involved and helped me. She's next door. Now mm-hmm. that's in the other building
yes.
they built.
Yes.
So she has been there. Was there with Marge from?
Yeah.
I don't know, but a long time.
Long time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she was there and helped me get started uh-huh. when I decided to come out. Mm-hmm. I quit my job. I worked at a credit union.
Uh-huh.
And so mm-hmm. I quit my job there and came out here.
Great.
And made a commitment
mm-hmm.
to Duval, and you made a difference. Duval made a difference for you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was the impact. Huge impact.
That was in your heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I told a very close girlfriend of mine when I moved out here, I said, Gail, if I die, I know he's going to have me buried out there in that Novelty Hill Cemetery. And I don't want to be very, I was thinking I'd come out here, live 6 months, and
talk
go back to,
yeah.
go back to the city.
And say, okay, and I tried it, but now I don't like it, so I'm back.
I forgot about that. Years later, or not, you know, I don't know how many years later, I went, Gail, if I die, it's okay, I want to be married. That's exactly where I want to be buried, is at the Duval Cemetery, the Novelty Hill Cemetery.
Yeah,
is that where your parents are buried?
Yeah, that's where mom and dad are buried, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, now Duval, Patty and I are just, you know, blessed the day we got involved. We were just so happy we couldn't think of a better place to be. Yeah.
So you first came out, it was only 800 people, and it was before more migration was starting to happen.
Yes, very stable. I mean, the people who lived here, and you could look at the homes, and they were all the same. None of this new homes. This was all dairy land up in here, or
right
courses.
Over here.
Yeah, over here. And this was so dramatically different. And I remember one year when it flooded and we couldn't get out of town, and I went downtown. Nobody get out of town. Duval became an island. This has happened since we've been here about 6 years. Yeah. I went downtown, and everybody that lived in Duval was downtown. And I knew everybody. I mean, there wasn't anybody I didn't know.
Yeah, they could get there to see people and say,
Well, nobody could go anyplace, so everybody went downtown Duval.
Well, and we lost our power in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we can't serve after a certain amount of time with no refrigeration. You cannot sell the food. So I went out into the streets. I think I sent Ken and my daughter and I, and Jerry, old Jerry, that owned Jerry's Ironworks, which was right on Main Street down at the end. I ran into him and said, come and eat, hurry. And he said, what? And I says, you know, somebody says, it's free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Patty and Carol are giving away the food free until it's gone. And, he was so excited.
Oh, everybody was. Free breakfast, and everybody was moseying.
Do you remember what year that was?
I can't tell you. I could remember it if I thought about it. Who knows Monroe?
There's been twice. Because the second, that was the first time. That was a bad year.
Both bridges were out.
Oh, you couldn't get.
And the roads.
Both.
Our son
lives
out
island,
here, and
literally.
Our son lives at Lake Margaret now.
Oh.
And I said, he lives across the street from our property. He bought a house there. And I called John. I said, John, you have a doctor's appointment, don't you, in Seattle? He said, yes. And I said, honey, you better get going and take a toothbrush, an overnight bag.
Yeah.
And he said, what? And I said, the roads are closed. They're going to be. Dad just went down.
Yeah, they knew because of the water coming through the up at Carnation.
You don't
they
much
knew
time.
It was,
And I says, they're going to be closing the bridge at any time. You've got to get out and you won't get back in. I don't know, maybe 48 hours, you know, it depends on. And he said, well, I'll go Carnation. I said, well, that's already closed. Well, I'll go through Monroe.
Yeah.
I said, honey, that's already closed. And he goes, what? He just
didn't believe that this
and
is possible.
He said, well, you guys are a bunch of hillbillies.
Well, the thing that I remember about that was the worst was the government came through, and because of the river, the farmers couldn't build cow mounds anymore. But cow mounds were, this floods down here all the time. Mm-hmm. They build mounds so the cows could go up
critter
mounds.
Pads.
Critter pads, they called them. Government wouldn't let them do it. Well, we had to listen to the dying cows. You never heard anything so painful.
No.
Then after you could hear them. They were dying either of
bleeding,
they're you know, hypothermia. Most of them, you couldn't get out of the water, or they were drowning. Then after the bodies, they couldn't.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yes. Then the bodies, they couldn't get them out. They'd be exploding. You would literally hear gas inside them, and they would explode.
This is terrible.
Yeah, and so after that, the government, maybe we better let them have their critter mounds.
Lisa Allen was interviewed her.
Yeah.
And she was telling me about because she was in the dairy back then,
yeah,
too, and the changes of dairy industry, and how flooding and regulations was a part of it, that, and then the changing market and
a lot of things were happening back then. Yeah, no, it was like I say, the dairy was incredible. The amount of cows that used to be in this valley. And we would come home at nights several times. We'd come home at nights, and here would be a whole herd of cows on the road down here coming across. Remember that? And we'd go. I remember one time we kind of followed.
I can tell you exactly when that last time was.
Yeah.
And you were coming home at 3 in the morning. Our granddaughter, Camille, was born.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's right.
I was so tired, and it was real foggy. And we were coming across the valley, and it was July.
A bunch of cows loose.
Yes.
Yeah, they got through the, and that happened all the time.
Kenny slammed on the brakes, and we came right up to this big cow, and her udder was
I was. I remember that was flopping. She needed to be
right
milked.
On the car.
It hit the, literally hit the car.
Barely touched it, and touched it. The cow, kind of moved and to the side, and then looked at us. I was terrified.
Yeah.
And we herded those cows along. That happened right as you're coming around the flats on Woodinville Duval. Herded them and off to the side, quite a way to the farm right here on that road that goes, to the left here. And went up and knocked on the door and told them their cows were on the road, and we almost hit one. And they didn't even...
The guy, what do you want me to do about it?
Well,
gather them up. Fix the fence.
We could have been killed, too, besides killing that cow.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Oh, the fence was definitely
real
broken.
Story. They said that was not unusual. I mean, it happened several times that the cows would break down a fence and go through it. And, they'd be out running around, and that was, back. And then used to be... I don't know, it used to be a lot of coyotes around here. I don't know, it was a lot wilder.
They still are, because I hear them every night in the north.
No, we used to hear them all day.
I don't hear them as much.
Are you cold, by the way? We haven't turned the heat on
out here. Oh, no, I'm okay. I've got my
sweater. Oh, because we don't turn the heat on out here a lot of times.
I haven't started turning my heat on, have you?
Oh, yeah, no, we're tough. We're Duvalites.
Yeah, I mean, it's too early.
Yeah, that's right, it's too early. So.
Yeah, but I don't like being cold, so we heat one room in there.
Oh,
when
the
I
TV room,
in.
I still have my windows open at night.
Oh, we do.
I get warm.
Yeah, we do too, So, but, gosh, what else?
Well, tell me about your family, your children, then.
Oh, well, I'll let you. You're the...
Well, we have six children.
Yeah,
they're all, except... Our one daughter now, the daughter that opened the restaurant and lived in Duval, and we raised two of our grandkids, her kids, here in Duval, which was wonderful. And Joni's children are like our grandkids.
Yeah, they're like our grandkids.
And they were so close, the cousins.
The same age group. They were the same age group.
And it was wonderful raising them here and their forts that they would build. Donna loved the kids. And it was just like a big family.
What are your children's names?
Gina, Christina, Carol, Michael, Mary, and John.
But they didn't grow up here.
No.
But
no.
Their children.
The two children grew up here. But our children feel like they grew up here because they were with Grandma and Grandpa a lot.
And the lake property. She'd bring our kids out to the lake property during the summer, and she'd literally camp there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so that was... I know. I'd come home from work. I'd come out to the lake. I wouldn't go to our house.
We knew all the people. And then Mary, when she was young, saved Irv Harder's son down at the river, saved his life, and it was in the newspaper.
Yeah, it was in the newspaper,
And she pulled him out.
She was a lifeguard.
Only 11 years old, I think, she was a really good swimmer.
All our kids were because of the lake property. Learned, they were 2 years old, they were in the water,
And so they're very... much a part of Duval.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, they'd stay with Grandma and Grandpa and help Grandma with Grandpa, and that's before we even moved out here.
And our number three daughter, Carol, moved down to Vancouver, Washington, and she's the only one of our daughters that isn't in the greater Seattle area.
Okay. Our children.
Yeah, our children. I should say our children.
Our youngest son, John,
lives out at Lake Margaret.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he lives across the street from our property.
Does he work in here, in town here?
No, he's an appraiser, so he works out of his home. Yeah. But he's an appraiser, so he travels all over in the city of Seattle.
Sure.
You never know where he's
going to
be. Yeah, in this area. He does this area for a company.
Yeah.
So, but he lives out at Lake Margaret, right across the street from our property.
Wow.
And, yeah.
But we have 16 grandchildren. And they're all, except one that's in London now, that we're going to visit in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And there, Brian is one that grew up out here and loves Duval.
Mm-hmm. And, well, tell me about some of the characters that you knew in town here.
Well. There's a couple of them that are still in town.
Uh-huh.
But most of them have gone. They were farmers. I'm trying to remember the name of the guy who was the ex, had the farm just out 203 there.
Gertsmith?
No, not Gertsmith, but the other guy. He was on the other side, and he was the ex-wrestler. He actually wrestled as farm boy, was on television as a wrestler, and he owned a farm out there. But I have to talk to Monroe. I don't know why his name won't come to him. But he was a regular coffee shop guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a real farmer. I mean, they, you know, farmers are so different in almost every respect from city people.
Mm-hmm.
And he represented that era of farming where it was, you're out in the field, you're working, you look like you're out in the field working.
Mm-hmm.
Your attitude was so conservative, you know, leave me alone, don't want government,
independent,
this is my property, I'll damn well do what I want with it, and
Absolutely. Just
don't tread on me. And
and
he was dead serious about it, and he was a nice guy, loved to have coffee with him, and just his whole mentality was...
I mean, to your cafe, then you got...
Oh, we got them all.
Manure
on their boots. Oh, yeah, he'd come off the field.
You really got to know them, the characters.
Yeah.
And the screen door, they loved my screen door. It would bang after them. And, who was that worked for the city here? We just saw his son's a sergeant in the fire department.
Golly, what was, the name's just, if you hadn't asked me, his name would have come to me. But I got to tell you, Ray Burns, I had a dog. And my dog, I used to walk him out, let him off leash one time, and he was down
on the trail.
Down on the trail, and he was down barking, went down into the fields where Ray Burns had his cattle and was barking at a calf down there. And I saw the truck come by, and by the time Ray Burns got there, I had my dog back up leashed. And Ray had a gun with him. He said, good thing you did that. I'd have shot that dog.
Ooh.
And he knew me.
Yeah.
He said, I ever see that dog down there, I'm going to shoot it. You need to know that.
Okay.
And so, that was the attitude of farmers. It's my land.
Okay.
You know, you just,
Your dog was barking.
Yeah, your dog was, it wasn't hurting anything. It was just down there barking at him. But he let me know, even though, and that's was the way farmers... Those farmers operated.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you respected them.
Well, you did. And, dealing with cattle the way they did, it was a whole different mentality. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a cousin. My cousin was a dairy farmer. She married into a dairy farmer. And our kids went out there and worked one summer, like for a month, and got to know all the cows. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful. And they came home. We went there to eat dinner. We're sitting around eating dinner. And Don says to my kids, you know who you're eating? Betsy. And it was one of the cows they loved. And he pointed that out to them. Yeah, it was one of the cows that they... I mean, that's just the farm mentality was.
Yeah.
These are, there's no... And that same way with a dog, with anything that was...
Yeah, but I thought it was a little strange. My son worked, really did love it out there. And he went back the next year to see the cow he was attached to, or the cow had grown. And he says, where is so-and-so? I don't know the name. And he still remembers the name of it. And they were laughing because we were out there for a reunion. And the girls, she had seven children. And they were all love John. But they went to the freezer, opened it up, and they would write the names.
That's really amazing.
This is theirs.
Yeah,
John was. I mean, it was our city.
My friend. That was my baby.
I never thought, that's
raised
right.
that baby.
He just never thought that the dairy cows, that you did that.
They did that with dairy.
You forget that they,
Sure.
But
you ate them too?
But, you know, a lot of the discussion I remember at the coffee shops was repairing equipment. I mean, the farmers would get together and they'd trade different notes and tools. You know, I got a tool that'll do that. I'll come and show you. There was this interchange that still existed in this community of a farmer going, oh, Fred, I know how to fix that. Okay, I'll come by tomorrow.
Or and Joe has
we'll take
a,
and that kind of was, even though their kids were competitive to the point where they'd be fights every Friday. They'd all, they'd be racing. The farm, it was, they were such troublemakers, their kids. But what they do is they would race on the farms. The farms would have racetracks.
Sure.
And they'd go out and they'd get big in fights over it. Because, of course, they're wrecking each other's cars. And, it'd be mayhem
winning and
there.
Losing the races.
And one year, I remember, they used to have Duval Days. And I was in charge of the games at Duval Days.
Okay.
And the Duval Days was a big, big thing.
It was, and the old Duval Days.
The old Duval Days. And Carnation Come, they used to have a rope pulling contest between Duval and Carnation, tug of war. And it was brutal. I mean, all those young farm boys would get in there and they took it serious. Well, Carnation stole the rope. It was Duval's rope, long gone the farmers. And literally, there was going to be a civil war over that. The Duval guys were all getting all tanked up and we're going to go get that rope back from Carnation. And I'm ahead of the games and I'm trying to. You know, I'm going, wait a minute, hold it, guys. You know, I'm trying to settle the whole thing down. Well, fortunately, it got settled down before there was mayhem and fisticuffs over it.
See, they would put it, hang it up in the Duval Tavern for the year.
For the year, the rope would be hung up there. It was a big competition. But these farm kids, they'd come and race in the streets of Duval. I mean, they bring their cars in, and that was part of the mayhem was... It was, they were just a crazy bunch of kids.
Wow.
And I knew, you know, I knew most of them.
Yeah.
And because I, because I had stuff that they wanted, so they'd send their kids in to buy stuff. And it was very interesting. And, you know, farming, I don't care how you say it, but farming is hand to mouth. I mean, you never know. Mm-hmm. A good year, a bad year. I mean, one year, you know, the farmers could be doing very well.
Total
the next year
commitment.
They could be. Yeah, and that was true with dairy farming. That was true with all of it. And, it was a total hard work commitment.
Yeah. And Tom Norenberg was telling me about the gorgeous dairy farms around there.
Yeah, they were.
The Dutch dairy farms.
The Dutch.
And the veterans that really were the generation that did all that. And then the next generation too, they didn't really have maybe quite the commitment. And of course, all the other changes going on too.
Well, a friend of ours came through that was an almond rancher, very successful in California, and he was absolutely amazed to see the two round barn roofs. You don't see those anymore, the Dutch. He said, only down where those almond ranchers are. He said, I've traveled the country. And he said, rarely do I see. And
even
there was two of them. No, they're either the Amish or the Dutch. Mm-hmm. No place else to see them. So he said, you had Dutch people here. He looked at the two barns and says, that was owned by the Dutch or Amish. And it was Dutch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And and so he was just absolutely fascinated by
Tom
that.
Tom is a good source.
Gosh.
He
is such a great guy.
And he has a good... farming. I mean, you know, he grows corn and all kinds of stuff. He would help me for us when we bought this and started trying to have a garden out here.
Wow. So when did you retire and then take up?
Well, I retired in 2003. So I've been retired for 16 years. Patty retired in 2005. She retired 2 years after I did.
Okay. 2007.
Was it 2007?
Well, I
okay.
didn't retire. I got breast cancer.
Yeah.
And by this time, I'd already, I retired from Duval and the property. I'd leased it all out.
Yeah.
And my daughter talked me into opening a store in camp with her.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You were going that far.
Yeah. I did for several years.
Yeah.
Help her. Support her.
Yeah. Yeah. So that wasn't. And I did that until 2007, or was it six that I got? I can't remember when I got breast cancer.
Yeah.
And,
no, that made a big
change.
And
then I just couldn't do it. I did go back a little bit after, but I had radiation and chemo surgery in over a year or so.
Yeah.
I was tired.
So long.
Before I retired and she retired, I don't know, about 8-9 years before we got into kayaking.
Oh.
And we've kayaked this river from the High Bridge to Carnation.
Yeah, you live
to Monroe. Mm, yeah, okay. To Monroe several times. Patty and I have done that. When the river was right, we would do that. We had a deep water kayak. We didn't have a river kayak, but we could do it if the water was right. And we did that several times. But when we first retired, we did a lot of traveling. We all the way to Alaska to Mexico, kayaking all the coasts of Washington up through Canada.
Yeah, we kayaked way before we retired.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, about 8-10 years before I retired, we got into kayaking.
I love that.
Yeah, and so that, you know, that basically working that, you know, around what we were doing, we did a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, fortunately.
And you are an artist.
Well, I was always a closet artist, to put it that way, but I got serious after I retired.
Mm-hmm.
I started, about 3 years before I retired, knowing that I was going to retire, I started taking classes.
Okay.
And a lot of the stuff hanging around here is my art.
Oh.
A lot of...
watercolor?
Well, three medias. Basically, my best is I'm a very good drawer. That's, if I had anything, it's drawing, just straight drawing. But I got into, I started pastels.
Okay.
And then moved out of them because of the dust, you know, and and got into a little bit of oils, and eventually ended up in watercolors.
Okay.
And that's what I do now because it's simple. I can take it with me. I can take I can sit down here. Yeah, that was a pastel.
And you can finish it faster than you have to, because.
Well, watercolors. Nice. I could be sitting here while we're having this thing. I could have done a whole painting of you.
Yeah.
I can sit here, sketch you, and paint you, and I do that all the time. I go to coffee shops.
Patty does very well with people, with portraits.
Yeah, portraits. Yeah, and so, and I did a lot of charcoal. As a matter of fact,
I saw your life drawing working in.
The art became part of. Oh, this is a Cherry Falls. This was a black. You know, Cherry Falls that everybody thinks to.
Yes.
That's a black ink that I did of Cherry Falls.
Oh my gosh.
But art just has always been part of my life. It's just, but I knew I couldn't make a living at it.
Did you get that from your parents?
What?
Art.
My mother.
Uh-huh.
My mother was never an artist, but she was a very good artist. I mean, she never
liked to draw.
She loved,
could sketch.
I saw pictures that she did in high school when she had time to do it. She was very good.
She was encouraging you.
Yeah,
too.
Well,
her grants too.
Our grandson is.
I can get up.
Yeah, here, I'll show you. I'll give you a little tour of some
this
of
this used to be.
I'll take this with me.
Yeah. Here, I'll take her. Actually, I showed you the stuff in there, but most of that.
Yes.
But this here.
We're looking at the artwork.
Yeah, this is, you know, the stuff that. But I was in the gallery here in Duval, in the Laurel Tree Gallery. Again, these are just stuff that never was quite gallery.
This was
This is real quick stuff. This one I just did.
Okay.
I went out of primarily Gene. A matter of fact, Gene that recommended, her and I went with two other people, went and did this.
Okay.
This was, I can't read it. No, Mukteel.
Oh, yes.
And we did that, you know. And this is our, during the big snowstorm 2008, that's our building here.
Your house.
This was done down at the musician down at the park.
Okay.
This guy too. This is Joe Lee. I don't know if you know Joe Lee. He's one of the artists in Seattle.
Okay.
I mean, here in Newville. He's one of the old, goes back to the 70s. This I did this year, sitting down in front of the... But that's the kind of stuff I can do. I can sit and sketch. I was a performer. This is Lake Margaret.
Yes.
Goes across the lake. This was Anchorage, Alaska. And that's a farm out on Carnation.
Ben Hart Road.
Oh, yes.
If you go
up
Ben Hart Road, you'll see that farm.
Just love that road. Yeah.
So, and they, again, this is live drawings I just did.
Those
are no more than a couple months ago.
I think they're wonderful.
This is an old truck. You know, I loved old trucks. And I did a little series of smaller sketch trucks just around there.
Wow.
And this is just sitting there.
Yeah, I love those old trucks. Yeah. Good for you.
This was an award winner. This won both Kenmore. Yeah, this was Debbie's duck. And Debbie was a gal here that had ducks. She's no longer around and goats. And I did that, Debbie's duck. And that won Kenmore, and it won one other one. I can't remember.
What's this one?
That is a friend of mine, and she used to live here in Duval, but they don't anymore.
Sure.
And that was Susan Burke.
That's,
and this one here is another friend of my art friend. This is not mine either. This is Ed. But I wanted to show you in here.
I'll show you.
There's one of my favorites. Yeah, I'll show it, Brent. So let me just walk here too. I want to show you. This is, see, you can see I really love the old trucks.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an old truck.
Gosh.
And this is my chicken. I did that. Patty used to have a chicken wall. That's my. Those are all watercolors. These are all watercolors.
I love chickens.
Yeah. And then this is...
Are you Scottish?
Yes, we are.
Looking at the kings and queens of
Scotland. We found that out belated. We had our... Poster. This is a friend of mine. This is one of my old trucks here. Now, I'm going to...
Covered with weeds growing up.
It was sitting out in the... That's a pastel. Now, this is our grandson, Brent. I want to show this one to you, and I'll show you another one he did. This is my grandson. So I love his work.
He just is so beautiful.
Yeah, he just does it. But come in and look at this one.
And he does film.
This is my Depression girl. That's a charcoal. And this was a live drawing. This is one of my live drawings.
Okay.
This guy was at local. Farrier. He wasn't local Duval, but he was Woodinville.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he works the Duval area. He was a farrier. And then this is our grandson, Brent. He just gave us this one. But I love this one. See, you can see
sweet.
This. Yeah.
He so just takes after his grandfather.
Yeah, he does. I'm very proud of him. He just does. And he just sits down and does this. He just did that off the top of his head.
Wow.
Which is
here's my babies.
Yeah,
oh, look at that.
Kids.
They're all together. As if they're babies together.
Sweet. This was Patty. Was given to Patty by our kids, and each one of them is signed when she had her breast cancer.
No,
it was my 70th. Or 70th, I'm sorry. There's one out on the other. But
what a great idea for a gift.
And then here's the whole family.
Sure.
This is Patty and I with our six kids.
Now, where's Mom and Dad?
Boom, boom. That's Patty and I. This is an old picture. Had sideburns.
Looking.
And this is more recent.
This is right after my
Patty's mother.
Chemo. Still.
Patty's mother is 100, almost 102, and she's still alive. We just.
She is.
Yeah.
Where does she live?
She lives in Seattle, in Eldrea. We were there all day yesterday.
These are each one of our kids and their families. And
my gosh.
Guns through all of them here. And Bill, Carol, Brent, who's still
the artist.
And then, and that's him there. And then this is our youngest son, John. Now, this is his girlfriend whose parents live right behind us here.
He's never married, my oldest son.
Someday we'll find the right person.
Just more family.
We're just doing our floors.
Yeah, we're just finished with
it.
This room, I've still got to do the kickboards.
And this is the original part of the
this
house.
Here's Patty and I. Here's Patty and I when we were married.
Aww.
This is our wedding pictures.
That's beautiful.
And so,
beautiful bride.
Yeah, wasn't she though? She certainly was. Aww. And so this is family, and this is my brother Pat. This is my brother,
oh,
my oldest
yeah.
brother, me, and Joni. There's
oh,
Joni right there.
Oh, there's Joni.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so well, that kind of gives you a tour.
Well,
I think you guys got a little rough here, Ken.
Oh, their house is coming apart.
Something got hit.
Yep.
But that'll paint over. I mean, I can take something. I didn't see that, Patty. I can fix that.
Well, may I ask you another question?
Sure.
I'd like to kind of wrap things up with a thoughtful question about how you see Duval now, and would you have any advice for people coming to Duval today?
Well,
that's two questions.
Duval's gone through a huge transition.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
I can't, you know, used to be this house ended here.
Yeah, I told
you. Yeah, and the whole family would live in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And these were farm built. They were farm op houses. They were built by the federal government. And these houses, and there's all kinds of them around Duval, represented Duval when we moved here. And there would be 7-8 people living in this house.
Yes,
you know, children,
yeah,
families.
Yeah.
Now, today, they built this magnificent 3-story, 4,200 square foot, 3,800 square foot house, and 2 people live in it.
Yeah, I don't get
and,
it.
And no yards.
No.
I mean, everybody had a yard. Our yard
yeah.
would have been small.
Yeah.
Back in the day, or not small, but it would not have been anyway. It would be a
yeah.
normal yard. Today, you walk out your door and you're stepping
yeah.
on your. So, I really have no recommendations other than I've just got to say I sure preferred the old Duval.
Yeah,
I must
absolutely.
Say, I loved,
it's
I loved
hard.
It when
it's
it was
kind of
a community
grief involved for you
yeah.
all
yeah.
to see the changes.
Well, I really wouldn't
well,
say
know,
it's.
Our, yeah. I forgot this. Our one of our grandsons and his wife just bought a house
out here in Duval.
Oh, good
yeah.
for
so
them.
They love this area and the lake being
okay.
close to the
yeah.
lake because they grew up on it.
But
and
not a 4,200 square foot.
No. Theirs is
they're
about
an
50,
engineer.
Yeah.
They're just
yeah.
up on 275th.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, down 153rd.
And
they just can't believe how quiet it is.
And she's a teacher, and so she drives into Bellevue, and he's an engineer
yeah.
Working
in
Bellevue.
They're going to be commuting then
yeah.
with
yeah.
that commuter.
But they love it.
Yeah, they love it.
They
yeah.
love it
yeah.
out here. And I was so excited that they
well,
know,
made that choice.
Made
that's
that
very
choice.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Well, but they have heard and researched the schools
mm-hmm.
and feel this is a good
mm-hmm.
place.
So
yeah.
They don't
see
have
hope.
Children.
You have
a,
hope
yes.
that this will
that
be
oh,
a
yeah,
good
and a very low crime rate still,
yep.
you know,
yeah.
and that kind of, you don't
this
have the Seattle problems.
Mm-hmm.
There's 14, none of the homeless
mm-hmm.
and all that. But the thing that I like, what I really appreciate Duval for is what they've done. And I know this isn't just strictly Duval, but I say to people in Seattle, oh, I went for a 20-mile bike ride, which is
mm-hmm.
not a normal for me.
Yes.
I drive to the Carnation Senior Center, have lunch, and drive back 20 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going, God, you're 80 years old, and you go on a 20-mile
mm-hmm.
bike ride?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they forget it's railroad grade.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, you know, it's all surface.
Safe.
Yeah, safe
it's
surface.
Not a big
deal. And I can, mm-hmm. you know, it's a casual bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Seattle, you'd be on the streets,
yep,
up
and
down
up
and hills.
Down. Mm-hmm.
I hope they preserve that, the park down there, the
mm-hmm.
activities they have down there in the
yes.
summer. And even in the winter, I love it. I love seeing the kids on the beach down there.
Mm-hmm.
I go down, you know, I'd ride my bike back there. I walk. I do a lot of walking. I try and walk 3-4 miles a day.
There's a lot
or
to
a
appreciate.
Bicycle. Or oh, yeah. And I just love what Duval is becoming.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate to see what Duval used to be go away.
Yeah.
I mean, how can I say,
yeah.
you know, yeah, putting those two things together, but none of that was available back in
but
the
But you don't want to say
day.
No to people that want
you can't.
To look
no, no,
for
they,
a community like this, because it's
yeah.
still the kind of community they want.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, no, and I can understand that. I don't have any...
Go down at Halloween, and you see them all in their
oh,
costumes.
Oh, yeah, in their
they're
costumes,
so
yeah, yeah.
I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
and
no.
I love now, here, because for years, there were no children. It was
yeah.
all okay. older, elderly living in
yeah,
the
that's
families.
Right.
Families.
Yeah.
Families
are moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a good place for families.
A little Charles.
Yeah, a little Charles.
Isn't he adorable?
Yeah.
I know Charles. Baby Charles. Yeah, I've met
and
him on the street.
His walking. Little voice.
And the
and
parents.
Watching him. It just
and he'll be your friend. And you'll be his friend growing
yes.
up. And they...
Yes.
He'll remember you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I, our new neighbors that are moving in, so I'm very hopeful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate
it. It's so different. You know, just have to, my day to today, I remember as a probably 8-9-year-old boy walking, we were living in Burien or White Center, I think it was White Center. Walking down the streets, and it was about 6 o'clock at night, and every man was on his front porch. They
uh-huh.
worked 8 to 5 jobs. I mean, it's
yeah.
so different. These kids, our grandkids, they mm-hmm. work, I mean, 18 hours. It's amazing how hard they work, you know, and it's so different. But it used mm-hmm. to be you had a factory job,
mm-hmm.
you worked at Boeing, you
had
to work at 8 o'clock,
job.
You got off at 5.
Yeah.
They were sitting on their front porches. The
mm-hmm.
men had eaten dinner.
And they
were sitting out on their
here.
Front porch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they'd be sitting out there in their chair in the front porch. And at that time, it was the Rainiers baseball that
mm-hmm.
was playing. And there was a game on. And I could walk down the street, and I'd tell you exactly what was going
to
be. Every man was
game.
Out there on the front porch listening
to
the baseball
game.
And
mm-hmm.
I remember that. I could walk down there, and I could tell you exactly what was mm-hmm. happening in that baseball game.
Wow.
Now, that would be unheard of today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just that. And but there's still a strong community here, at least in this area. We know all of our neighbors.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a relationship
yeah.
with them, and we're invited
yeah.
over for ice cream the other night over
mm-hmm.
here next door. And
mm-hmm.
we see him across the street, and he'll call me mm-hmm. up and say, Ken, 10 o'clock at night, Andrew will call me and say,
oh.
your garage door is open.
Oh, good.
Oh, you know,
yeah,
that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we,
yeah,
yeah, so sorry, I forgot. Oh, God,
yeah,
forgot to close
you.
My garage
yeah,
door
yeah.
again. Yeah.
And he says, that's okay, Patty.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not that old. You're
yeah.
not old. I don't think
so,
you're old.
So that, you know, that kind of thing still exists.
You're
it's
very
just
active.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts from you, Patty?
No, I just that change is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get into the trap or fall into that negativity
mm-hmm.
where the past
yeah.
was all good and romanticized.
Yeah, because it wasn't either.
And it
yeah.
wasn't either.
Yeah, the drag race is done.
Yeah, and to be hopeful, and
mm-hmm.
I really am, like I say,
mm-hmm.
the youth, now coming, and when I the church over here,
mm-hmm.
so many children
mm-hmm.
out
there is a
playing,
big group.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I love the sound
yeah.
of children laughing,
yeah.
hollering.
Yeah.
And so I'm very hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And our parks, I think it's very important
yeah.
that we keep up public areas
mm-hmm.
and.
And have activities like they do have here.
Yes,
very much
keep the activities,
that.
The Halloween
mm-hmm.
you mentioned,
yeah.
the Christmas
yeah.
tree lighting.
Yeah.
yeah. And the concerts in the park
the
during
yeah.
the summer.
The park,
and,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. And just
the art walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
All of that
yeah.
is what keeps us more of a
yeah.
small town feel.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think
and,
so. It's a very artsy town,
mm-hmm.
too.
So I'm very hopeful.
Well, thank
and
you so
well,
much.
Yeah.
I have just loved this.
Oh,
and
well,
I'm going to close
what
it.
What we can contribute to.
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
A bunch of babbling.
No, it'll be great.
Yeah.